Stand your feet with us this morning and let's worship.
Holy Spirit, take my hand now. Lead me out in the living waters. You're the wellspring, you're stirring. You're the life for your sons and daughters. Eyes are open to the unseen, and my faith is arising within me. Bless the Lord now, sing it out loud. The Lord is glory. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still into your love, because your love keeps going deeper, deeper still. You're calling me deeper, deeper still. So I'm going deeper, deeper still. Oh,
take my everything. And I believe in you. And I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. And I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
He is the God of miracles. And some of you just need to believe that He is who He says He is. Amen. Amen. He is the God who brought you from death unto life. Amen. He's the God who gave His Son on this earth and birthed Him for you and me. A God who freely gave His Son to die for us. What more can He do? Everything that you have seen in the Word, dead rising, deaf ears hearing, blind eyes opening, the demoniac being set free, the little girl dead, raised up from the dead, Lazarus, everything that He did, He will do today. Because He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. What do you need? What is it that you need from Him? What's your miracle? What is it that you're saying, God, I need this? He already knows it. You got to believe that He is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And He will deliver what He promised. Amen?
Come on. Yeah. Let us down. Now we'll back up sometimes, you know, and thank God He forgives us for that. But our God will never let us down. Amen. He's with us all the time. Amen.
Amen.
He's the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You know, as I look out at these babies, I said this the first service, but as I look at babies and I think about the time that we're in,
amen,
celebrating Jesus's birthday, celebrating Jesus's birth. Amen. And I look at these babies and remember back then, They were trying to kill Jesus. There had been a prophecy about the Savior of the world coming to the earth. And they even, in an area, killed every boy baby, every boy child, 2 and under. But in that state, right there, you see Tasman holding the baby.
Amen.
Amber has her baby. You see those babies. And in that state right there, God protected that baby to become a full-grown man when he's absolutely helpless. Everything they need comes from their parents. They can't do it by themselves. That baby can't protect himself or herself. Can't do it. But God,
amen,
brought that baby out safe to a full-grown man.
Amen.
Dying on a cross for you. You tell me what he can't do for you. Amen?
Amen.
There's nothing impossible.
And not only what he can't do, but what he's not willing to do.
Amen.
He wants to
Amen.
Do. He
That's
desires
good. Yes.
to do.
Yes.
Amen. He
Amen.
Desires to do and be on our behalf. Amen.
Amen. Let's fly through Amen. These announcements. We got
okay,
Christmas
Okay, let's
Eve.
Fly through them.
Yes, we got Christmas
Are we
Eve.
Getting on a plane?
Oh. Yeah, next month. We got Christmas Eve coming up. Not this coming Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. So, like, Christmas is, like, right around the corner. And then we're in 2020. Like, how did that happen? How did that happen?
Fast.
I remember being a kid and hearing things like 2025. Yeah, that's right. It's never going to get here. You know, that's so futuristic. Oh, man. But anyway, so Christmas Eve service here at 6:30. We're having a candlelight service. So
6:30.
No, I think I've said 6.
Ooh.
He is absolutely right. 6:30 is the prophetic convocation. Thank you. Thank you for
So we're starting at 6 o'clock.
We're starting at 6 o'clock.
Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. New Year's Eve service is at 6
o'clock.
We will
put something out as a reminder on Christmas Eve.
Oh, Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve. I'm trying to get ahead
I'm
of
I'm still in the presence of the Lord right now.
A Christmas Eve
Amen.
Service.
Christmas Eve service
o'clock.
Is at
Amen.
6
Amen.
O'clock. So we're going to come out. Yes, thank you so much. We're going to put a reminder out there that says 6 o'clock. And then we will not have a Thursday night service that week. So remember, we won't be here on Thursday night.
Amen.
And then we'll come back regular time, 8:30, 10:30 on Sunday morning. And then that is the 29th. And then the evening of the 29th at 6:30.
Amen.
Is the prophetic Praise convocation God. Of what we've always known it to be in the past. Now they're calling it
Discovering
Your Path, I believe.
Yes.
And so we're going to go at Bodkin's at 6:30, and they always give words for the new season coming up. Now, listen, you should be seeking God for your personal word.
Amen. Praise
for your new 2020. Amen. For the new season Amen. That we're going into. And God will speak that to you. So they're going to be giving us a word for 2020 that's going to be what the direction that God's taken us all in. Amen?
Amen.
And there will probably be words brought forth. There usually is. They move in the gifts and healings and all that. So we just invite you to come out. It's going to be a great service. The campus pastors are always involved in that service, so Pastor Phil will be there. And then mark on your calendars the 14th and 15th of February. We are going to have a marriage, the EXO Marriage Conference. It'll be live streamed here. We have prizes to give away.
Amen.
And we will have a dinner that night.
Amen.
Because it is Valentine's Day.
Amen.
So, but it's not just for married people. That's not what
right.
we're... It is a marriage conference.
Yes.
Anybody that ever plans on getting married...
Amen.
Ever thinks that might come
if
their way...
If you're dating, if you're thinking about dating, if you're... single, but you're wondering if in the future you won't be, I think you need to come to that marriage conference. It'll teach you good stuff.
So we're going to invite you out. And listen, if you come to the marriage conference, you learn what marriage should be.
Amen.
Don't do it like we did it and just jump into it and you have to go through the bumps and all of the...
I'd still do it again, baby.
I want to say gullies we fell in. Had to dig out of because we didn't know any better. Amen. Come and learn how to do it right.
Come and learn how to do
Amen.
It right.
Amen. Amen.
It was fun digging out with you.
Baby dedication.
Yep.
Yes, we have baby dedication next Sunday on our last Sunday before the new year, or almost our last Sunday before the new year. And then we're going to do baby dedication again on the 19th of January. So we got two dates set for baby dedication, the 20th of December, 22nd of December, and then the 19th of January. And if you need another date outside of that, let us know, because we will be flexible, because we love to dedicate those babies to the Lord. And it's going to be a good time. I also wanted to say that last year at this time, I lied to you. Yep. Oh, I was found to be a liar, because I boldly said last year that this was our last Christmas in this building, because I truly believed with my whole heart that we would be in our new building by now. So I didn't intentionally lie to you, but boy, if you ever want to catch me in a lie, you did that time, because we're not in our new building yet. But I tell you what, well, I'll wait. I'm going to wait till the springtime and then tell you that I believe that was our last. We'll look back to this prophetically in the springtime and say, hey, that was our last Christmas in the old building. But we're still excited, because here's what I will tell you. Our new building will come in God's time. Amen. And you know what? I still thank God for how much we're growing, how much we have seen, and what God has done for us right here. Amen? And with that being said, I think I'll let those children go. I think they're excited to get to their service. Amen. And to get some snacks and the word put in them, because they will get food, but they will get Jesus. Amen. And so God is a good God. Amen. And he's a good God all the time. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, for offering today, what I've been doing over the last couple weeks and what I did earlier is that I like people that are tithers, that are seeing God do something and want to give a testimony of why they tithe. I want you to come up here and let me know why you believe in giving. Amen? Amen. Come on, who's going to come up here? And our first service, I will tell you that we had people come up because one young lady, Miss Linda, was so excited because she has been tithing. And first of all, she's seen some strange things happen this year, because she's the one who gave up an old van and received a Cadillac with no payment attached to it. It was just an exchange of titles. I want your old van for my new Cadillac, and you're going to take it debt-free and all that good stuff. Amen. She said that every time she gets up and comes home or to work and just thinks about it, it reminds her of the goodness of God. Amen. And then we had Miss Stacy. She came up and said that the other day her car was going crazy, and she was coming to intercessory prayer, only had 10 minutes because she had to go to a grandson's program, but said, I'm just going to stop by, and if nothing else, I'm just going to give what I got, time to give to God. And she came in for 10 minutes, and they prayed, and she went outside, and her vehicle ran perfectly. It was going crazy. Lights were going off. She took it to AutoZone, and they told her, you have got to have some parts replaced on this thing. It's not going to run. And then she drove down here to the strange church, hallelujah, the church of the strange things, and God did something supernatural for her, you know. We were celebrating in our first service because there's a young lady there this morning that only knew she was pregnant for 8 weeks, gave birth to a healthy, beautiful, young little baby girl that is just a pillar of health. And now we've known her. She's almost 3 months old. We've known her more in her birth than we ever did in her pregnancy time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So who wants to give a testimony today? Well, praise the Lord. Maybe you ought to start tithing. You'd have something to say. No, I'm just kidding. I do not even know who tithes or who do not. I do not look at that stuff. But I believe God over what he says, and I believe God over what we teach. I guess you're going to have to tell your story.
Okay. the Lord led me to say this, and I want you to know before we start, I am not bragging on you and I in any way. I am bragging on what the Lord has done.
You can brag on me if you...
I'm not. I am just simply giving you what God has done, and but for God, this stuff doesn't happen. Amen? In our life, God is the one who has done it all. So the Lord led me to say that he's been breaking a poverty mentality off of me. Now, I've been serving the Lord for 20, I'm in my mid-20s, and yeah, I'm not telling you how old I am, but for 20-some years, so I don't get the exact amount there. But I've been serving the Lord for a minute now, and he started working on a poverty mentality on me last year when we bought our house. And if you're not, I'll explain the poverty mentality as best as I can, and Phil can, what God showed it to me to be, and Phil can fill it in the way that he sees fit. But, okay, so we always grew up in the lower to middle class area, okay? That's, you know, there were times my dad went with his employer not paying him for a year and a half, and he was the sole breadwinner, and so... You know, there were times that money was very tight, and we would have a garden so that we could eat, you know. And so we weren't rich by any means, in any stretch of the imagination. We didn't have a lot of stuff by any stretch of the imagination. We got by. And my mom was very frugal. She was a very good money manager. But, you know, we lived in a house. There was... Four of us kids, and it was only a three-bedroom house, so three of us girls was in one room, and our brother was in it. So we lived in modest house. It wasn't by any means a bad house, a dirty house. My mom wouldn't let anything be dirty, but, like, all of our furniture and stuff had always been used. You know, I don't remember until we moved out of the house and my mom and dad got older, did they buy something that was brand new. You know, we just grew up barely getting by. And so that's what we knew. And nobody in our family ever had they had good houses. I'm not speaking bad about our houses that we grew up in, but nice, nice houses, okay? And I hope you know what I mean by that, by not putting down our parents or by not putting down our family, because we grew up well. Amen.
Amen.
Look at us today.
We grew up love.
It was love, and it exactly. And there's nothing wrong with that, but... You get a mentality that you can't live in any better than what you've had, or that you can't have any better than what you've already, that you've had in you. And you go and you buy the cheapest thing. Now, I'm not talking that being good stewards of your money.
Amen.
I'm saying you buy it because your mind never changes that even though you've got money in the bank account, that you might be able to get something a little nicer that will last a little longer. And really, in the end, when we would buy stuff, it would buy the cheapest stuff, and they would break quickly, and we would have to go and buy again. Now, how much wisdom is that when if you bought something that was a little bit more expensive, it would last longer? Okay? So, is that good? Is that a good explanation?
You're doing good, babe.
Okay, I don't want to make it too complicated. I want to make it plain, because... God had to just take, when Phil told me that we were going to buy the house that we were going to buy, because we had been praying and I'd been praying, and we had a prophet speak over us and tell us that I see you moving into a house of significance. And I didn't even think personal when he said that to us. I thought of the church building a new house out there, because this is the house of God. And so we left there, and Phil's like, no, Phil, no. And he's like... No, that's you. That's us. That's us. And so I started praying about it, believing we couldn't really get a house. And don't ask me why. I just had this thought that we couldn't, and it was there. And so he shows me this house. He tells me this house, and there's a big story behind that I'm going to spare you from because it's long. But God speaks to us both at the same time. I'm out of the country. He's in the country at the time about this house. And it blows my mind, because I don't think we can have this nice of a house. I don't think it's right for us to have this nice of a house. And I know that. And I don't know why I'm crying. I didn't cry the first service.
You didn't, babe.
But you have to get beyond the thought that you're not good enough to have what God has for you.
Amen.
Does that make sense? And so anyway, we come back and Phil starts really talking about getting his house. And I literally start crying because I'm fearful to step into a place that God has for me, because I'm not good enough.
which is stupid because I'm a child of the living God.
Amen.
And I tell you girls not to think like that ever. But somehow when the mirror's in your own face, you struggle through certain things.
Amen.
And the other one that will be rejected and never get this house. And you come to a point where you've had hope deferred so much that you stop hoping. And that's the enemy's plan to keep you where you're at.
Amen.
And I didn't even realize these things. Like, I'm living this and God's showing me things and I didn't even realize I was here.
Amen.
And so, as y'all know, we did move into a new house last year. And it's a very nice house. It's a very beautiful house.
Amen.
Not because...
Holy said it's beautiful.
Amen. It is a pretty, pretty house, but... and it's not, it's all by the grace of God. Let me tell you, I'm saying that. But our furnace gone out about five times last year.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was about five times our furnace went out last winter, at the end of winter. And so Phil looked at getting it replaced this summer, and in the fall time he looked at getting it replaced. Well, he brings me the quote from the company that's going to do it. And there's a quote of the lowest. And there's about four or five options on this sheet that goes all the way up to the highest,
fantastic,
and the most efficient,
yes,
and the best one you can put in your house. Listen, I didn't even look at that price. Y'all know which one I wanted to put in our house. I wanted to go with the cheapest because we got to save money. We can't, you know, you can't do that. You got, you know, every excuse I could come up with why, but I didn't speak. I think the Lord shut my mouth when I first saw it, and
amen,
I didn't speak. And the thoughts that I had in my head didn't come out. No, seriously.
Yeah.
And so I kept praying about it. I didn't pray about it for a week. I didn't pray about it for 2 weeks. I prayed about it for almost 2 months.
Yes.
I would go and I would hold that open. Phil would say, Regina, have you made a decision yet? Have you made a decision yet? Well, I knew God was taking me through a process.
I'd already made our decision.
Yeah, he had already picked, which you all know which one he picked.
Amen.
But God spoke to me the last time I opened it up, and he said, Regina, it's time. You're going to get this one, and you have to do it soon because your furnace is going out again. And he spoke to me, and he said, what you're wanting to do is get something that in a couple years is going to break again, and it's going to need to be replaced again. And then you do that for how many years? Over 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. You're always putting the cheapest in. And he just spoke to me about, you're going to get this one. It's going to cost you up front, but it's going to save you money. And I'm going to show you something through this. And he said, I'm breaking. And I thought he broke it last year. I'm breaking this off of you because your limitation is that it has to come from you and not me.
Mm.
You don't know that it comes from me,
man,
and not you when you do this. You tie my hands, basically, and say that, oh, this is what I can do, so this is what I'm going to do, and you don't allow me to work. And so I said, okay. I went to Phil, and I said, our furnace is going to break down. This is the one we're going to get, and I thought his eyes were going to pop out of his head because he's not used to those answers from me.
Amen.
And so
he's having a fight.
I said, our furnace is going to break down. You got to get this done. So sure enough, I think our furnace is going down we've had three visits from them. And we've got our furnace replaced just this week. But I just wanted to tell you how God worked the process in me and how through 20-some years of believing his word, of tithing and stuff, there's still things he's working on me on. And there's still things that we've got to understand that he's our provider.
Amen.
We've got to let him do it in his strength and not our own strength. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. You know, it's kind of interesting because... when Miss Regina, when I was waiting for her to make a decision, I would just pray. And God would say, Philip, I'm working. And he was working. And here's what I want you to know. This is how good God is. That even though she waited long enough that our furnace did break down again, you know what's interesting is these people came and they fixed our furnace. And I said, well, can you guys move the date up when you can put our furnace in? I said, because I don't want to put $400 or $500 in this thing just for the next month or so. And they said, oh, no. They said, nope. Said, we're going to come and we're going to fix your furnace for free. And we're going to put that $400 or $500 part on there at our cost because we just can't put your furnace in yet. And so you've told us you wanted it. They said, so you're our customer, and we're going to take care of everything you need until we get it in there. So they came and put a new part on our existing old furnace, and at their own expense, and didn't charge us anything. Might have been because they were charging us enough for the furnace we got in, amen? But anyhow, Phil, the bottom line is, God wants to do his best for you. And it is time for us to stop thinking that we're just this scum of the earth mentality, this barely get by sinners that are barely saved by grace, all of these false identities that linger on us to hinder our faith in who we really are in God. And it's time for us to give God the glory that's due him. And that means that not only are you going to celebrate Jesus and his blood and his love, but you got to celebrate who he's made you to be. Amen? Without him, we weren't all that in a bag of chips. But girl, with him, we got it going on, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So what we're going to do is just based on that testimony and the fact that we're not going to have a poverty mentality. And we're not going to have a mentality that God's not good to us, because he is. And he's just waiting on us to give him room, isn't he? Amen. Isn't he? Doesn't matter what it is it, Miss Eckert? It doesn't matter how difficult the situation. God is waiting for us to give him room to move on our behalf, isn't it? Even the impossible. You know, we've got to remember that our identity was prophetically. There's a prophet that said, Pastor Philip, I got to tell you, strange things are going to take place in Kent. You know, when I studied that out in the Bible, it meant awesome God things are going to take place. You know, in our first service, we had a baby, and I call it an eight-week miracle, because they thought they could never have children again, and so much so that here she was pregnant for the whole time and never find out till 8 weeks before the baby was born that she was having a baby. Amen? I want you to know that, you know, there's a lady, Miss Linda, who, like I said, gave away a van for a brand new Cadillac almost, just made an upgrade of 7 years to a Cadillac from having a van. And I just tell you that there's just things that you need to believe God for. Amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the God of the supernatural. You are the God of love and mercy. Father, who else would say, just give me 10%, have everything else, and watch and see what I'll do on your behalf. I'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessing that there'll not even be room enough to contain. I will protect the seed. I will protect your health. I will protect the seed of your body and the seed of your field. I'll protect anything that you put your hand to if you just let me be God in your life. Father, we just make room for you to be God in our life. Father, we want to be obedient. We want to press into you. And we want to make sure that we have a mindset that's open to the way you want to do things, Father. And we just thank you for it and bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
And we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome. And we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Everyone overcome.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise Jesus. Brother Dave, you're looking good today, my friend. Amen. Hallelujah. I think you guys are all looking good today because you are all children of the King. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I know that it's Christmas time, and we get to, you know, at this time, we get to celebrate the birth of Jesus, and we get to have all kinds of positive thinking and positive messages and the hope of buying Christmas and doing all that good stuff. And I thank God that you and I have next service and Christmas Eve service to do all that. Because this service, we got to attend to where we need to finish up on obedience in the lifestyle of the kingdom. And what we're talking about is the very fact that now that we are saved, one of the greatest expressions of our faith is that we become obedient to what God has to say about our life. First of all, I want to remind us that when we think about God, he is due the honor and the obligation of us as his children believing him no matter what. And I'm telling you that one of the greatest expressions of your faith is to become obedient to what God has to say on a subject and how God wants you to address something. I want to remind each and every one of us that when we look at the massiveness of the earth, we can go outside and we can look up to the sun and we can look up to the sky, and to us it looks like it's never ending. But the earth is just one aspect of the universe and what's out there at large. And we've got to remember that when we think about God's authority, can we remember that he says the earth is a footstool to him? Now, he would never treat us like a footstool. He never steps on the earth. He made the earth. He created humanity, and he loves us. But I want you to understand something, Nate. Sometimes the voice of the enemy, or even our own voice or our own fears, can rise up and overshadow the very God who created all of heaven and earth and created the earth with you in mind. And his love for you must become something that is so magnificent that you will hang your life and your hope upon the word of God. I will tell you that that's one of the biggest secrets I think you're ever going to find in life, is that you can hang your life on the word. If God says it, he means it, and he will back it, and he will fulfill it. And one thing we're going to have to do, which I pray that we've done better and better at, is that we are going to recognize God in his greatness. We're going to recognize God in his awesomeness. But one thing we're also going to have to do is we're going to have to realize the awesomeness of humanity. Come on, I want you to know something, that in all the creation, we love to look out and we love to see the sky and we like to think about mountains and we like to see all of this stuff, and it is great and it's wonderful. But let me tell you something, the kingdom of God nor the kingdom of darkness is in battle over how great the sky is. God is not focused on how great the natural sun is, even though he created the sun. I want you to know something, that all of God's focus is on the people that are on the earth, and all of the enemy's focus is on trying to destroy the people that are on the earth. See, somehow we have forgotten the value of who we are as God's children. See, we won't accept our real identity, even though in Psalms chapter 8, the angels do not sit there and say, wow, we're in awe of our own awesomeness. The angels don't sit there and say, hey, we're these wonderful, powerful beings. The angels sit there and they say, Philip, my goodness, God, who is man that you would trust him with the very works of your hand? See, how is it that angels are in awe of us? Angels are servant to humanity and will do whatever we ask. But here we are, we belittle ourselves and think so little of God's creation that we don't even think it's right to ask him for something. See, we struggle around saying, oh, I don't want to bother God with my little problems, when I got to tell you something, Nate, your problems are on the forefront of God's mind. Taking care of you, taking care of your life, getting things in order for you, making sure you're at peace, making sure that you have joy and righteousness and peace. These are things that God made available to us. And I want you to know something, that Jesus did not take it easy in doing things, because that's how much God loved us. I want us to read something here, because I want you to see a word that is spoken to each of us. It's in Galatians chapter 4. And it says this, Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. And because we are sons of God, has sent forth the spirit of the son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I want you to know something, that basically this scripture says that if there was a king who had a son, while he's little, while he's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, he is the heir of the throne. They're going to treat him awesomely. They're going to dress him up. They're going to take care of him. He's going to have protection all around him. But at his young age, because he doesn't even know what it means to be a king, and because he doesn't even know how powerful his words are at that age, he's no different than a servant that works for his father. Not realizing that he has authority, not realizing that he has power, and not realizing that he has the power, in his own words, to make a difference of what goes on in a day. And I want you to know something, Christians. For far too long, we have been as though we are the same as servants, not realizing what our true identity really is. I want us to know something, Christians, that your voice makes a difference. Your words, your prayer, how you live your life, even how you view yourself, will make a great difference on how you impact the earth. Listen, if after the blood and after salvation, if you still consider yourself worthless, if you still think you're just a sinner, if you still think there's no power in your prayer and no power in your words, Nate, you're not going to change anything. You will not take the authority over the devil. You'll not take the authority over circumstances, and you will live an oppressed, beat up life because you refuse to receive the grace that's been released on you by Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you talk about our Father in heaven and what he's done through Jesus, he didn't do no little flippant thing. He didn't do some small thing that's supposed to stress you, depress you, and keep you away from the fullness of God. No. When the blood of Jesus came, when God sent his son to the earth, when he even had the thought to give life to Jesus as a man on this earth to redeem you, he put all of heaven to back you. He put his very name on your life. God says that when he could swear by no other, he just swore by himself and chose to give you love and kindness. And it is time for you, as a person that believes in God, to take on your supernatural identity. See, the problem is you don't think you're a supernatural being. The world and sometimes false doctrine has tried to teach you that you're imprisoned in a body that's just for a sinner that happens to be saved by grace. Nate, that's a lie. The Lord didn't say that. He didn't say it ends at the cross. He said it starts at the cross. It says that we need to know him after the resurrection. God didn't pay for you to still be a sinner. No, no, no. The Bible says that once we receive him and we start being led of his spirit, we are the children of God. Amen, little handsome. We are the very children of God. And I want you to see what God has to say and why he sent Jesus and what it's supposed to mean to us. My goodness, we need to make sure that we're not those who are still seeing ourselves as just servants when we are really heirs to the throne. The Bible says we're joint heirs. I want you to know something, that Jesus didn't come and say, hey, I'm the only one that's ever going to be. Now for us, he is the only one, amen? Only Jesus could come to the cross. Only Jesus is our Lord. But he made the statement that I have come to be the first of many brethren. See, here's what I want you to know. You have not received your identity as being part of the kingdom of God. You'll say, oh, yes, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're awesome. They're amazing. But you give yourself no credit for anything, even though the Lord says that he has made you brand new creatures. He's made you the sons and the daughters of God. You are supernatural. You are his. Your words matter. You are covered by the Holy Ghost. You are redeemed through his blood. And it's time for you as the redeemed to say so. Why don't you have faith in your prayers? Why don't you believe that when you say, in Jesus' name, something's going to happen? Why don't you accept your identity? Because God gave it to you. He says to us, Darlene, that we're his temple. He says that we are the redeemed of the Lord. He says that we must say so. He doesn't say that he needs to keep saying it. He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Have you ever been bold enough to look yourself in the mirror and say, I am the redeemed of God. I'm blessed. I'm his child. And from this day forward, devil, you have no power in my life. If you bring an attack my way, it's not going to scare me. If you try to come against my family, it's not going to cause me to be afraid. If you fight me, I'm going to fight back. If you rise up against me, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to rise up against you. You are going to get out of my way. You're already defeated, and my Lord's already given me victory. Amen? I want us to realize what the Lord says to us. God says that there's a particular reason why he sent Jesus. And shame on us if we don't receive it. I want to know if you know this. It says in Acts chapter 3 verse 24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. I want you to know something, that all the prophets from Samuel on have told about the days when we would be the children of God after Jesus Christ came. It says, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Do you realize that God knew that the earth would be blessed because we become Christians? Do you know that your salvation makes a difference for your family? Did you know that your salvation will make a difference for the neighborhood and the places where you live? Do you know that your job can be a place that's blessed because you're there? The Bible just said that through thy seed, all the kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. That means all the people on the earth can and should be blessed because we are Christians. It says, unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. My goodness, how is it, like Pastor Regina said, that we would be willing to stay up under poverty mentality, not believing we could have the best, not believing we could see the best, not believing we could live in victory, when the Lord just said that the first thing Jesus was sent on this earth to do was to bless you? Are you willing to receive the blessing of God? Are you willing to receive what the Lord has to say about you? Or are we going to stay under the identity that we've wrongfully given ourselves or let other people give us? Are we going to let our past identify us? Are we going to let our failures identify us? Are we just going to stay stuck up under the wrong choices and the bad decisions we made and the results of them? Are we just going to live there, or will we receive the fact that Jesus came to bless us? Can we redefine our thinking and say, I believe from this day forward I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to fight the fight of faith until I get there. I want you to know that just this week, I had a call from a young man that's part of the family where him and his wife could not have children, so they adopted two handsome young babies. And they adopted these young children, and as they were going through the adoption process and following the rules that they have to do for the adoption, there was a son out of these two that was diagnosed with something. And all of a sudden, this diagnosis turned the whole thing around where all of a sudden, they started saying, hey, we might have to take these children back as wards of the state. Started to coming against this family and wondering what if it was them and what had happened and all this other stuff. Well, this young man had some leftover things from his biological heritage. But as we know that our identity in God means a whole lot more than what a biological diagnosis could ever say. So they went on a journey and they began to pray and they began to apply by everything the state required of them. But they were also bold enough to go get a lawyer to represent them. And they just made a decision. And I was in agreement with them because they said, you know, we were given some advice that said, hey, maybe we've been given two children so we could save one. I said, that don't sound like God to me. I said, God would not have you go through the fight and the struggle of getting two babies if he didn't give you the power by faith and prayer to have a redemption moment for two babies. So guess what? It didn't happen by overnight. It didn't happen by chance or circumstance. They just kept fighting the fight of prayer and faith and doing what was supposed to be done. And Nate, you probably know the conclusion of the matter. All of a sudden, they just came and said, we're completely dropping this case. This was wrong. It should have never come against you. You guys are great parents. Your children are great children. They've stepped into this Christian faith, and they believe like you, and you guys have become a family, and we're not going to bother you again. I tell you what, it's time for us to be bold and not give up. It's time for us to fight the fight for what we have. I talked to another family this week, and I tell you what, they had a brand new baby. They're a Christian couple, and they've been believing God for a child, and their child was born. But guess what? Their baby had a battle. Their baby had water on its lungs and all of this other adversity. And they were saying this child might have a heart problem. But guess what? That baby's been around and born in this earth and is on the road to recovery. Why? Because sometimes there's a fight even around the best of things. Jesus was a blessing sit upon this earth. But do you know the devil made a plan to kill him and kill other babies born around the same time as him trying to get to Jesus? But Jesus' parents withstood. And I want you to know something, that you are in a fight of faith. Every day is not going to be easy, but if you will remember why Jesus was sent to bless you, every situation you fight against will turn out victorious. But you're going to have to overcome fear. You're going to have to do it God's way. You're going to have to become obedient. And even when it doesn't look like it, even when it doesn't look like it's going to work, you have to stay on track with the things of God. I tell you what, you're going to believe some things and pray some things. You're not going to see a thing change. Don't quit church. Don't quit your prayers. Don't start posting negative on Facebook. Don't give up. Nope, you're going to have to gird yourself. You're going to have to toughen up. You're going to have to gird yourself up, and you're going to have to decide to do it God's way. Amen? We're going to have to be obedient when the struggle comes. We're going to have to believe God. Even in the midst of adversity, we need to believe God. See, I want to remind you of something that in John chapter 8, verse 28 and 29, Jesus made a statement. He said, my Father is with me. See, if you're not careful, some people say, well, it was easier for Jesus. He was the Son of God. Some people will try to say, well, it was different for Jesus, Pastor, because he had a supernatural birth. No. It wasn't different for Jesus just because he was born supernaturally. For he was 100% man and 100% God. But you know why Jesus said that the Lord was with him? He said, God is with me. For I, oh boy, I got him spoiled, don't I? For I usually preach with him, but he wants to preach with me today. But listen to this. The Bible says this. Jesus said, my Father is always with me, for I always do those things that please him. See, Scripture is so simple, it gives us secrets. We just want to ignore them. I want you to know something. Did you ever see Jesus sitting around having a fit of carnality and saying, I'm not the Son of God? I'm just this weak old amoebic thing. I don't even know who, you know, they say that Joseph isn't my father and who is my father. And they don't even believe in how I came and nothing good thing can come from Bethlehem. Those things were all said about Jesus. But he never once took on any of those identities. And I tell you what, it's time for each and every one of you that just because other people have said something against your character and against your identity, you might even been a person that accused yourself a time or two. You might even had your own thoughts about who you weren't. But I'm telling you that from this day forward, by the grace of God, it's time for you to believe who God says you are. Listen, you might have had some bad experiences. I make no excuses for your bad experiences. All I'll tell you is that sometimes when we deal with people, we're going to get hurt. Sometimes when we deal with life, it ain't going to work out our way. But just because your past has been earmarked by difficult situations, don't you dare disqualify the Word of God out of your life by not receiving the fact that God said, I first sent Jesus to bless you. Amen? When we step in the next Sunday, I want you to just have such a pure mind of hope, such a hope and such a faith of believing who God is and what God is going to do on your behalf and in your life. I want to read some things to you about Jesus and what he did for us. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, meaning Jesus, took part of the same. Jesus took on flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Listen to me. Sometimes we make too big of a thing about the lake of fire one day that the devil's going to be thrown into. Sometimes we make too big of a hope about the future and when the Lord returns. Not that it's going to be everything that God said. It's going to be amazing when he does return and when we don't have to fight in this world anymore. It's going to be amazing. But what I want you to know is up till now, we've given the devil too much authority. We're not waiting for him to be destroyed. He's already been destroyed. We're not waiting for him to be defeated. He's already defeated. You already have a right to rule and reign and to not have him make any difference or power over your life right now. I want you to know that the Bible says that we can ask anything in the name of Jesus and he will do it. Listen, is the devil going to resist you? You better believe he's going to resist you. Is he going to try to roar like a lion? Yes, he's going to try. But if you will resist him, he will end up fleeing because he has no choice. He's already defeated. He's already destroyed. And I tell you what, we're never going to be battle free, but we should never be victory free either. A battle may come. Remember, King David said, 1,000 may come and fall at my left side and 10,000 at my right side, but God is going to be faithful. Amen? God is going to be faithful. I want you to hear what this scripture says. And delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, when we had the fear of death and before we had salvation, we were subject to bondage. The devil did have a power to beat us up. But once we got saved, death, hell, and the grave, and all authority of Satan is broken off of our life. We have a right to grab a hold of the name of Jesus and faith and live for God. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. You know, I thank God for angels, but angels are not the beings that God went to the cross for. I thank God for angels, and I thank God that in a moment's time when we pray, God will assign them to help us. But I want you to know something. The blood was not shed for angels. The blood was shed for you. And I want you to know that it's time for you to take on your identity that means so much to God that he was willing to die for you. It's never declared that God was willing to die for the universe. He wasn't willing to die for the sun that we get to see every day. He wasn't willing to die for the oceans. He wasn't willing to die for all that he created. He was only willing to die for the opportunity for us to be his children. God loves you. He's with you. And you need to receive your identity. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he's able to secure them that are tempted. And that word secure here, in case you don't know, it means that he's able through hardship and distress to give assistance and support. He's able to give aid. It means that Jesus went through what he did so that when you are in the battles of life, he has every right to support you, to bring you out, and to give you victory. God is a God of victorious outcome. Jesus went through what he went through so that he would have a right in every way to defy death, hell, and the grave, to tell the devil no, to tell the world no, and to make certain that every one of us can come to victory through the Lord. I tell you what, battles are going to come. I don't know how people that are not saved do it. I thank God for grace that's out there. I thank God for mercy that's just upon humanity out of his love. But let me tell you something. I thank God more for the fact that if we will become his children, we have a supernatural right to see outcomes that only he can bring. Amen? I want you to know that God loves you. God is with you. God wants nothing for the best for you. And Jesus was willing to suffer. You know, if Jesus was willing to suffer, shouldn't we be willing to go through some things to make sure faith is perfected in our life? Listen, just because it's difficult, why would we back up? Just because it's hard, why would we quit? Our Lord and Savior didn't quit. In fact, it says that he suffered being tempted. And because of that, he's able to assist us and help us when we're tempted. You know, if Jesus was willing to suffer and go through temptation to make sure that he had a right to help you and support you, don't you think that you should be in agreement to say, I'm willing to suffer through some things and fight for what's right. I'm willing to be obedient. I'm willing to do things his way because he was willing to die for me and make sure that he had a right to help me. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, for what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. What? You mean, Pastor, that when I pray for something and it doesn't come easy, I have to suck it up? Yes, that's exactly what I mean. You mean when I build a house or start a journey or get on a job in the name of the Lord and I pray and I receive it and it doesn't go as easy as I thought it was going to? Do you mean, Pastor, I have to suffer through it? Yes, you need to suck it up. You need to toughen up. You need to pray and you need to let God give you a victory. We just read it. Doesn't just get to be that when everything's easy, we get to show a good attitude. It's not just when it's easy that we need to be glad about it. It says that you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, that is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Listen to me. Does the Lord give us blessing? Yes. There's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. In the presence of God is the fullness of joy. But along with it, you get a cross to bear. Did we forget that we have to daily pick up our cross and follow after him who made a way for us? I mean, sometimes we are so much in the bless me mode, that we never sow enough that blessing's in our tomorrow. Oh, come on. I need us to quit complaining. I need you to quit confessing negative and quit woe is me and start saying, hey, Lord, even if this cup gets strong, give me the strength to carry it. Because we have an example that's what Jesus did. Look at this. Oh, here's our example. He left us an example that ye should follow his steps. Here it is. Who did no sin. Huh. Boy, that would be an example for us to follow. Instead of looking for a reason why you can sin and how to get away with sin and what all we can get away with, how about we choose not to sin? That would be an example to follow. That it just be a normal part of your life that you would want to adhere to God. And these are not unreasonable expectations. These should just be normal steps that you follow your after him. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What? You mean there was no negative talk found in Jesus' mouth? You never heard him had a fit of carnality? He never went spewing off cuss words? He never got negative when things didn't work out his way? Just because he waited a week or two or a month or a year for something, you mean he didn't start complaining and spewing and just yelling out negative stuff? No, he stayed faithful. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. You mean when it got tough, Jesus never threatened to quit church, quit God, go back to sin, do it any way he can and not care and God's unfair? No, he never did any of those things. Who his own self bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. You know, when I think about how Jesus carried the sins of the world and the burdens of everybody, come on, can't we do it for our spouse? Can't we do it for our children? Can't we do it for ourselves? Can't we just carry a little bit of difficulty in this life for each other? Jesus was willing to carry the whole world's difficulty. We are made in his image. He was the first of many brethren, you know. We do have a right to call out in his name for help. We have the right to reach for power, not just to cover ourselves, but to help others as well. Can we do it? For we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the bishop, unto the shepherd, and the bishop of your souls. You know, before we knew the Lord, we were going astray. Before we knew the Lord, we were weak. But now, being saved, did you know that you're called a peculiar people? Oh, see, you thought I was the only strange one around. Whether you like it or not, you're a part of the family of the strange. You're part of the peculiar. Ooh, you're a part of being unusual. You're a part of being different. But I'll tell you what else you are. You're a royal priesthood. You are kings and priests. You are those who have authority. And listen, I would watch what I speak. Because the Bible says that when you speak, it's not just you speaking. It's actually the Holy Ghost. Well, I'd be measuring what I say. I want you to start thinking, hey, before I say it, would this be something that the Holy Ghost would say? Or will I grieve him by what I speak? Would this be something that Jesus would speak? Or am I about to grieve him with what I have to say? I'm going to call the person that's getting on my nerves this week. But I wonder if what you're going to say to that person, is it led of the Lord, or is it out of your anger, your bitterness, your frustration? Is it out of carnality, or are we led of the Spirit? I want us to be led of the Spirit because there's consequences of not. I just want to share a couple quick things with you, and we're going to go briefly to the Old Testament because there was a king called Saul. And if you don't know the end of Saul, Saul ended up losing his life because he, after becoming king, rebelled and went away from following God. And it just didn't work out for Saul. Now, it's said that at one point, Saul was anointed. He was with prophets, the Spirit fell upon him, and it says that Saul spoke as though he was a whole nother man. And he had moments of being brilliant and powerful, so he had accountability because he knew what it was like to live life for God. But there became a time where Saul, in his pride and in his unwillingness to listen and do things God's way, but started listening to do just things that people was telling him to do, whether it was what God told him or not, he started rebelling against God. Because let me tell you something. Even if you give God a partial sacrifice, it's not good enough. Takes it all. God doesn't want a hit and miss relationship with you. He doesn't want you to do things right for a season when it feels good. And at the first time of difficulty, you run off some other way and do things your own way. God cannot have you going back and forth between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. In other words, you can't be a Christian on Sunday and live any old way you want through during the week. You've got to break those behaviors, or you will have a testimony like Saul. We're going to pick this up where Samuel the prophet comes to hold Saul accountable for the wrong he's doing. And in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 20, Saul the king says unto Samuel, "Yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people," oh, always blaming somebody else. Saul, this happened under your leadership, but you're sitting here just wanting to blame the people. Sometimes we have to be careful that we don't blame other people for our choices. Just because our boyfriend didn't treat us right doesn't mean we go back to the bar. Just because we had an argument with our spouse doesn't mean that we can break our covenant with our spouse. And just because things aren't working as fast as we want them to, and we don't see God moving as much as we want to, doesn't mean you can abandon your Christianity and go to do things your own way. Get the patience and wait on God. It says, "But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Do you know, people, that it's better to be obedient and do it God's way? You know what? I would rather risk losing a relationship than to break my integrity with God. I'd rather preach the gospel and tell you the truth than compromise so I could have every seat full in the church. And you got to get to the point where you would rather live for God even if people don't like it and might leave you because of it. Ooh, if you stand strong with God, it will always be a better result. It says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected thee from being king. You know, this wasn't the first time Saul had rebelled against God. It became a continual, constant habit. If you remember, Saul became the king that just tried to kill David all the time, even though David had defeated Goliath and was there to help him. We just need to make sure that we are not a people that constantly and without humility go against God, regardless of thinking that there may be consequences to our life. Saul even said to Samuel, I've sinned, for I've transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. You know, I want you to know that repeated disrespect, repeated rejection of doing things God's way will result in consequences. Can we be forgiven? Yes. But some of your decisions will put you through undue circumstances that would have been better off if we just had been obedient the first time through. Amen? I want us to be a people that learn to be obedient because you have the Lord helping you. And I want to remind you, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, but right here in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking and he says in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now listen to this. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here it is. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You know, the Bible says that Jesus said his Father was with him always, because he always did those things that pleased him. And now we hear Jesus saying, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will send another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who will be with you forever. It's time for us to make sure that God is with us forever. It's time for us to make sure that when we pray, he hears. It's time for us to make sure that when we need, he's there. All we have to do is love him and do things his way. All we have to do is be obedient to a loving Father that's only asking you to do it his way, because his way is right. Amen. Man's way isn't right. The Bible says that man will do things right in his own mind, and it'll just lead to destruction. But God's way, the Creator, the one who made us, redeemed us, blessed us, and loves us, will tell us the way to do it, and it will be right. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift you up and we exalt you today, God. Father, we just declare that, God, obedience is much better than sacrifice. Doing it your way will always lead us to an outcome of victory, hope, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, Father. Lord, I thank you that those of us who are led of the Spirit, we are guaranteed that we are the children of God. Father, I pray that every one of us today We are your children, God, and we will do it your way. And we love you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Before we end the service, is there anybody here? And I